watch the screens for a special message.
Football is what I do. It's not, you know, who I am. Who I am is who God calls me to be, and that's it. So Jesus Christ is my rock. He's my Lord and Savior. That's who I live for. And that bleeds into, you know, how I love my teammates well, how I can have a good mindset, you know, when things are going well, when things aren't going well in football, in life.
And my faith has helped me become a better person. It's helped me become a better leader, a better role model. It's something that I live by every single day.
Yeah, I mean, my faith's the most important thing in my life. It's the thing that keeps me grounded. You know, I think the moment I started to really, you know, enjoy my life more than I ever have was when I surrendered to God. And to me, it's the thing that will always be consistent for me, no matter what happens in my life, good or bad. And I'm blessed for that.
Tell me what it means to you to have a relationship with Jesus, and how does that apply to your life?
It means everything, man. I would not be here without him. I've been through many trials and tribulations, just like anybody has. And just to be able to lean on him and to be able to go to him in quiet and in my quiet time and be able to build my relationship with him is everything to me.
I'm a faith-driven man. I believe in faith being so important in so many different ways, not just on the football field, but in life in general.
Cool, isn't it? I've got friends that go and film that and put that together, and I'm trying to get on that team so I can go hang with the Super Bowl players. I'm kind of, I got a pull for Brock Purdy. Sorry, Ava. I know you love Mahomes, but anyway, it's game day, and I have to admit, completely honest, neither one of these teams are my teams. I can watch the game and enjoy it, but I'm mostly excited about the commercials and the snacks. I'm excited about the snacks. If I watch anything on TV, there's very few shows that I keep up with, but I record them, and so I go watch them on playback a little faster and get through all the commercials. So everybody with a commercial, they got one shot at me. It's on Super Bowl Sunday. That's the only time I'm going to see them all year long. But I also have another favorite part of the Super Bowl that's always fascinating to me, and I always enjoy it very much, but that is the anthem. I love to hear our anthem sung, and it's always patriotic and powerful, and this year Reba McEntire has the honor, and that'll be interesting to see you know, what little nuance she puts on the anthem or how she presents it. And of course, there have been favorites through the years. There have been iconic renditions and performances. You want to hear a couple of my favorites of all time, the national anthem. Give me the first one. This is last year. Last year.
Oh, can you see by the dawn's early light, oh, so proudly we hailed at twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars.
soulful, strong, masculine. I mean, that's America, ladies and gentlemen. That's pretty incredible. But in my opinion, the best of all time is going to take you back a few more years. Come on, let's hear it. Nation, Lord, have mercy. We miss you, Whitney. Just perfection and class and just the absolute best. But what is an anthem? Of course, our national anthem, it's going to remind you that our nation, even with her issues, even with less than perfect circumstances, is still incredible. And there is so much to honor, and there is so much to be thankful for. But by purest definition, an anthem is a song or hymn of praise or gladness. Another continuation of the definition is a rousing popular song that is identified with a movement or point of view. It's a sacred vocal composition with words usually from the scriptures. The better question for the purpose of this Sunday morning gathering is to find out, what is your anthem? The last few Sundays of 2024, we have been in a series called Song of the Year, trying to find our song for 2024. What is going to be the anthem of this year? What is going to move us? What is going to remind us? What is going to get us through? What is going to stir the gift within us? Because all of us need a song. Last Sunday, we were talking about Paul and Silas in that jail cell and of course facing a certain death. And at midnight, they sang a song, because you've got to have a song you can sing even in challenging times. You have to have an anthem, is the soundtrack of your life, or is the soundtrack of your faith. I think about some of the great anthems of the church. I think about anthems that we heard growing up in church. I know music has evolved and matured through the years. Some of it positive, some of it maybe not your favorite. But I remember the old songs. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Anybody remember the anthems of the church? Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. His name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Y'all remember this part? Kings and kingdoms, they all pass away, but there's something about that name. If you mess with me very long, I'm gonna just ask you, how can I say thanks for all the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love to me. And the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. 'Cause all that I am and never hope to be, I owe it all to thee. You know this part. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Anthems of the church. I got that one a little high because Joanne's, she's on the injured reserve over there, but she's in the house. She would have put me in the right key, but anthems of the church. Here's what Paul said in Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 15. He said, be very careful then how you live. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. So if I'm going to heed the warning of Paul, if I'm going to heed the instruction of Paul to be very careful how I live my life, don't live it as unwise, but live it as wise, I'm going to have to sing a song of intentionality. I'm going to have to sing a song on purpose, because you know and I know that everything in this world is trying to distract us, trying to get us to look the opposite direction of God's call and God's purpose and God's plan for our lives. So if I'm going to live as wise and not as unwise, I'm going to have to be intentional in my faith. I can't be a fair weather believer. I understand it's raining outside and inclement weather. It always affects the crowd. There's people that just, they don't want to mess with it. It's messy. It's, you know, you just, I mean, I'm wearing these white shoes and they're going to get all dirty out there in the rain. But I don't know. There's just something in me that says, I guess I clean the shoes later. I'll find something to get all that straight. I've got to be intentional about my worship. I've got to be intentional about my faith. I've got to be intentional about being careful how I live. And he said, make the most of every opportunity, because Sundays are an opportunity. Small groups are an opportunity. We have an opportunity, and we can make the most of our spiritual opportunities. You know why? Because the days are evil. That's what Paul said. You got to be careful because the days are evil, and I need you to know they're not getting any better. They're not getting any better. You think getting a different person in the White House, or you think getting a different leader here, or someone else making a shift or a change, it's going to change it all. No, the days are not getting any better. Therefore, verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is his will for your life? I want you to determine that. I want you to decide that. I want you to know what is his will for my life. Because if you know what your purpose is, if you know what God's will is for your life, it keeps you from waking up every day and just waiting for life to come to you. It means you're going to live with an intentionality, live on purpose. I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing it because I know this is God's will for my life. This is God's plan for my life. So I'm going to start this day in devotion. I'm going to start this day in prayer. I'm going to begin this day in worship. I'm going to live a focused life. I'm not going to get to work and see what their mood is before I decide what mood I'm going to be in. I'm chosen to change the atmosphere. I'm going to take my spiritual self into the workplace, and no matter who's in what kind of mood, I'm going to affect the outcome of this day because I began it in worship. I began it with a decision. I started this day on purpose. Is anybody hearing the word of the Lord today? What is God's will for your life? And then he says, do not get drunk on wine. Don't cope the way the world copes. Don't cope and deal with your problems in the same way that others cope or deal with their problems. You have something better in your life. You have something greater in your life. Don't fall into some of the same traps. Don't fall into some of the same traps and circumstances and situations, because those things lead to debauchery. Instead, there's a better option. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Live a life full of God's presence, full of God's Spirit. Does that mean, Pastor Darrell, that I just go to work talking in tongues, or I just go to work just shouting my way down the aisles? No, probably not. You probably will not be employed there very long if you go to work in that posture. But you know what? I can be filled with the Spirit every single day. I can be filled with the Spirit, fresh and powerful and on purpose in my life and live. And you know what? His Spirit in me will affect my mood. It will affect how I treat others. It will affect how I respond to others. Challenging situations come. Challenging circumstances come. But because I've been filled with the Spirit, I'm not reacting the way that everyone else reacts in this same circumstance and in the same situation. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. And then he says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. That's worship. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an anthem. It's an anthem. I'm talking today about an anthem for all. An anthem for everyone, an anthem for others, because it's not just our worship for God. We've been talking about that the last few weeks, finding our song, finding our rhythm, finding our tempo, finding the sound that is going to set the pace and the tempo for our year spiritually and faithfully. But guess what? It's not just worship for God. That's important. That's non-negotiable. My life is worship. My thoughts are worship. My passions are worship. My business dealings are worship. I need to worship in every aspect and area of my life. But notice what verse 19 says. He said, speaking to one another with psalms and with hymns and with songs from the Spirit. So not only are we supposed to worship God, we're supposed to praise one another. Not only are we supposed to exalt the name of the Lord, that's important, that's first, that's paramount, but I'm also supposed to exalt you and encourage you and bless you and lift you. Are you saying, Pastor Darrell, that we're supposed to worship one another? No. But we can encourage one another. We can lift one another. We can walk with one another. I've spent this year just making a list of my songs. I've got several right now that are just on repeat in my playlist. I'm listening to them every day. They speak to me. They take me to a place in my faith and in my spirituality. I know what my song is for the Lord. That's important. But what is my song for you? What song am I going to sing to you? What song are you going to sing to the person across the aisle from you or down the row or sitting in front or behind you? What song are you going to sing for them? Because here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen, we're all in a spiritual battle for personal peace and for sanity and for joy. And the last thing we need is to fight one another. We're all trying to get to a place where, man, I can just be at peace and I can just be calm and I don't have all this stress on me. But the last thing I want to do is fight with my brother, fight with my sister, be critical of someone else who's working just as hard as I am for peace and sanity and joy in their life. Guess what? I've got a song for you. I'm not offended. I'm not upset. I'm not angry. I'm singing joy over you. I'm praying peace in your life. I bless you today. You know what? I'll sing over you even if we disagree. I'll sing if you and I are different colors. I've got a song that blesses your life. I've got a song and I believe that song will make a difference in your life. Because everyone's wanting to know, who's going to win the game today? Maybe. But thank you for your contribution. It's going to be two great teams. You may be cheering Chiefs, you may be cheering 49ers, but you know what? A team is going to win the game. Whether it's the Chiefs or the 49ers, each team has 53 players. And not one single individual is going to win the game by themselves. There's 11 players that come out from each team for any given play. You know what? They never send the quarterback out there alone. They never send the star running back out there by himself. They never send the wide receiver to run the route, because you know what? If the running back, he can't run if no one hands off to him. The wide receiver cannot catch the touchdown winning pass if no one throws to him. It's going to be a team that wins. So Paul said it. We need a team. You need a team that you can be a part of, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. In other words, love people who look different than you. Love people who vote differently than you. Love those who have less than you. Love those who have more than you. Sing a song of peace and joy and encouragement over one another. It's what we're called to do. Oh, I want to worship. There is a burning passion in me, and you know this if you attend the church very often at all. We want to practice the presence of God. We are passionate about the presence of the Lord. We feel Him, and this team begins to lead us. But it's not just stage down. No, it's stage and congregation that are meeting together. It's not just one-sided worship where they are singing or performing. No, this is not a performance. This is a participation sport. If you're on this team, we don't want you just sitting on the sidelines. We don't want you just riding a bench somewhere. We want you involved. Even those players who are not one of the 11 on any given particular play, that they're up on the sidelines. Someone's having to push them back and hold them back behind the white line lest they get a penalty. That they're all out there. They're invested in the game. So regardless of the part that I play, regardless of the part that you play, this is our team, and we're singing. We're singing to make sure that everyone gets a win today. Because it's not just one person that's going to win. It's all of us that are going to win if we will sing to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. We can literally create a choir. We've talked about bringing the choir back. Just, you know, every now and then, don't anybody get too excited. I know back in the day it was all choirs and there were robes and, you know, it was the featured part of every church service, the choir and their rendition. And then we went to smaller teams and ensembles and chorales and trios and praise teams. And listen, I love all of it. We want to bring the choir back, bring the choir back. Let's do it all as long as we're worshiping God, as long as we're magnifying the Lord. But you know what? We have an opportunity to do something great in this community. We have an opportunity to create a choir that brings glory to God. We have an opportunity to develop harmonies and melodies, and it's not just our worship that makes a difference. It's our missions, it's our church cares, it's our feeding, it's the toy drives, it's the help that we can provide. All of it comes together to make this beautiful song that we can sing in 2024, and it brings glory to God, and it makes a difference in someone's life. This is an anthem for all. It's an anthem for everyone. I've been in multiple different choirs throughout my life. Some choirs, it was just all in. There was anybody could sing. I preached at this church one time. I was in Louisiana. Could call the exact city. It's an interesting Gum Point, Louisiana. Blink and you'll miss it. But I was sitting on the front row getting ready to preach, and they said before the preacher comes, we want the choir to come and sing. And I don't know, there was 100 people in that service, something like that. But people started filing past me, going up onto the platform, and they began to line up on risers and get behind microphones. And I kept thinking, man, there's a lot of people passing me. There's a lot of people going up on that platform to sing in this choir. And when I turned around, I was the only person left in the congregation. Every single person in that building went up on the platform to sing in the choir. And I thought, boy, this is some pressure to respond right here. I mean, if anybody's got to run, I'm all that's left to run. If anybody's going to clap, I'm the only one left to clap. And all of those people crammed and packed on that platform. They all sang to me, and we all worshiped, and it was fantastic. I've been in those choirs where everybody could come and sing. It didn't matter if you could carry a tune or not. And there's other choirs I've been in that it required multiple auditions. Multiple auditions. We got to see if you can get these notes right. We got to see if you can hit this up here. We got to see if you can get down low to this. Multiple auditions. They were looking for something very specific. I can tell you this, the bigger choirs are more fun. The ones that just include everyone are a lot more fun, because we're not trying to build a trio here. We're not trying to build a small group that does it all. This is not a chorale or an ensemble. We're inviting the entire congregation to sing in this choir, to join in this anthem that is for all. Can I tell you, the bigger the choir, the more energy and the more excitement. When you get in the choir, when you get on the team, when you become a part of what God is doing and you start singing an anthem, not only that is worship to God, but is praise for one another. I don't know why I feel so convicted about this the last few weeks. Making sure that we're good, making sure that one another are good. And I know we're good. I know we're good. I'm sure there's personality differences, and I'm sure there's people that get on your nerves, and when they come, you kind of go the other way. I get all that. That's just people. That's just personality differences. But I'm telling you, we got a presidential election coming, and the media is not going to stop until they get us despising and hating one another again. I refuse to do it. Make up your mind that on January the 11th, 2024, before November 5th or November 7th or whatever the date is, I'm just not even going there. When they start running their commercials, when they start spitting and sputtering on the TV, I'm just not going to play the part. Why? Because I've already established my song for 2024. I'm speaking to one another in songs and psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, because we want everyone in this choir. One voice may not be as strong as another, and so we pair them up. We get them near one another, because if I stand close to someone who sings better than me, they're going to help keep me on key. That's why I told you last Sunday that duets make a difference. Paul was glad to have Silas, and Silas was glad to have Paul. When it came time to sing at midnight, they were glad they weren't the lone wolf crying a song in the woods all alone. They were glad there was someone who was singing with them. That's why these ministry moments are always so powerful and such a blessing, because I know when I come for prayer, I'm not walking this alone. I'm not doing this by myself. I'm not going through this alone. I've got somebody who has my back. Someone literally put their hand on my shoulder. Someone took me by the hand. Someone spoke a word of encouragement in my ear. Someone prayed a prayer of blessing over me. And I don't know about you, but because they sang over me, I feel like I can make it another day. I feel like I can survive another night. I feel like I can get through this dark, challenging, difficult season in my life. I'm wearing the same shoes that I fell in on July 23rd. I haven't worn them since. It's really an odd thing putting them on. It's almost a little weird memory, PTSD, whatever you want to call it. But I put them on today, and I thought, well, I'm going to walk extra careful today, because these are the shoes. These are the shoes I was wearing, and you know, it's just those weird feelings. But when I lie there, not knowing what was happening, and all of you were trying to figure out what was going on, and people begin to come to my rescue, and men begin to get me up off of the floor and get me into a chair and get me to hospitals and get me to surgeries and pick me up on Sunday mornings and load up a wheelchair so that I could come and lead and preach and do, and then to be able to walk today knowing I could not have done that without someone singing in my ear. What are you facing today that you will not be able to make it through if someone does not sing over you, if someone does not bless you? I read recently about a study that the NBA did. Pretty fascinating article. someone, obviously a nerd that has peculiar interest. They tracked the high fives, the fist bumps, the hiney pats, everything they do to celebrate one another on a team. They tracked them, literally kept track. There were 210 high fives during that game. There was, you know, saw him pat him on the back. I saw him speak, hey, you got this. Come on, let's go, let's go. They tracked all of it, the praise that the teammates had for one another. They tracked it. They started in the preseason. And the article went on to talk about some of the teams that it took them longer to gel. It took them longer to become a family. Maybe they were in a rebuilding season and players were coming from all different teams or being drafted out of colleges and they arrived not really knowing one another. And it took them several games. It took them a few weeks before they begin to gel and begin to, you know, speak life over one another and not look with disdain if somebody missed a free throw, but they were right there to make sure they knew, hey, I got you, man. Let's go. Come on, you got the next one. Let's do this. They tracked it starting from preseason. And it was amazing because the teams that went far into the playoffs, the teams that ultimately won the championship were teams that started on day one praising one another and speaking life over one another and encouraging one another and fist bumping and high five one another. You know why? Because we do better. We are more successful when we are in an environment where we feel encouraged and we feel uplifted and we feel strengthened. When somebody's patting us on the back saying, hey, you got this. I know life's not easy right now. I know the finances aren't, money is funny right now, but you got this, man. Stay faithful. Come on, I'm singing a song of encouragement over you. I'm singing a song of God's grace over you because I want to lift you in this season that you are in. And so I stand next to people who may sing louder than me, may sing better, singing on key may come more natural to them. Perfect pitch is a real thing, but it's very rare, very rare. I've got a friend, plays bass guitar for Reba McEntire actually, and travels, great believer and lifelong friend, and he'll put on Instagram, he goes into recording sessions. He's a recording session player in Nashville, and they're playing on all of these, you know, albums that are out and projects and all of this. And there's a guy that he'll do session work with. His name is Gary Motes, and he'll be in session with him. And anytime they're paired up together, he does something about let Gary see if Gary knows the key. And it's always fascinating because Gary, I don't know his whole backstory, but he's blind from birth, but he is a prodigy pianist and he has perfect pitch. And my friend Jacob will start singing a song. Maybe it's a song from the 70s or a song from the 80s, just something he likes. And my friend Jacob is not a great singer. He'll start singing where he thinks the key is. This is the key. I think I heard this song in the radio. And Gary may not have heard that song in years. Sometimes he'll say that, man, I've not heard that in 10 years, but doesn't matter. He starts playing it in the exact key that the song was performed in and became a hit in. Starts playing it and knows every note and knows he's got perfect pitch. He hears it and knows exactly. And then he'll also tell Jacob how far off he was. Oh no, you're an eighth off. You're a sixth. I don't know anything. You're speaking foreign language to me. I do not have perfect pitch. It is very, very rare. Let me tell you something else. Perfect faith is impossible. No one has it. You can have great faith. You can have blessed faith, but nobody has perfect faith because there is no such thing as perfect faith or a perfect life or perfect peace. We are designed to need one another. We are designed to need one another because we create a team. It's not about codependency. It's about harmony. Singing in the shower is great, but no one else is welcome. I should have thought of that, Jude. I got a great, great, great video clip on my phone. If anybody wants to hear it later, I got it. But he was singing Italian. We didn't know Jude knew Italian. He was just a little guy in our shower singing at the top of his lungs in Italian. It's fantastic. I'm saving it for your wedding, bud. Anybody want to audition today? Anybody want to be in the choir? What about my life? What about where I am? What about what's going on in my world? I don't want to miss an opportunity to bless someone and to make a difference for someone and to help someone and to sing over someone. You and I have the opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life. Be generous with your words. Be generous with your compliments. Be generous with your encouragement. Be generous with your blessing of what others have done and what they can do. Because he said, I want you to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. If I were to audition for God's great choir today, it's really simple. It's what he's going to ask at the audition. I've gone into auditions. Do you sing tenor? You baritone? What are you? You sing a fifth above this, that. You know, they're trying to figure out where you are on the scale, the range. All right, do the range. Da, da, da. Tell me what you sing. But when you come into this family, it's the Lord is, hey, do you repent of your sin? Yeah. Are you ready for a more fulfilling life? Yes. Have you said yes? Yes. Get in this choir. Get on this team. Let God do a great work in your life. We call it a yes moment. For people who are deciding, choosing, saying yes to Jesus. Maybe that's you today. Maybe your life, maybe 2024 has not started the way you hoped. Maybe you wish things would be more together now, 5 or so weeks, 6 weeks into the new year. Man, I just thought things were gonna smooth out. We left 2023 in crisis and we buried that New Year's Eve, but here it is, sprouting and coming to life in this new ground in 2024. And today I've got to have a change in my life. And Jesus is that change, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to have a difference in my life. Jesus is the difference in your life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed in this room. This is a personal moment for you and the Lord. It's really the only solo you'll sing in your experience with Jesus. No one can repent for you. No one can say yes for you. A mama that loves the Lord and wants you to love him the same, she cannot do this for you. That friend who keeps inviting you to church, they've got you this far, but they cannot make this decision for you. This is your personal decision to say yes. How do I say yes? You repent of your sin. Because all of us are sinners. No one is perfect. No one. So we pray, Jesus, forgive us. Jesus, set me free. I don't want to live my life apart from you, apart from your plan, apart from your purpose and will for my life. Today I say yes to you. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Change me. I've been singing off key for years. I've been at odds with family and friends for years. But today, Lord, today I'm getting in a choir. I'm joining the faithful today who we're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs in the Spirit. Today I say yes, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Why don't you stand with me across the room today? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a lot of ways we could make an altar call today, but I'm wondering if the best altar call wouldn't be putting into practice this word, blessing someone, encouraging someone,